Hey, this is Peter and Adam from Sons of Silver, and you are watching Aftershocks TV.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into another one now here. Now, this is a discussion. It's going to, again, not an 80s sort of story, but it's an individual, an artist, of course, that's involved in this. Sebastian Bach, you know, who's not my favorite person in the world. I'm not even a fan of his music, really, except for the old Skid Row stuff. So he came out and he said, all right, he doesn't mind older musicians like Paul Stanley using some technology to help them get through a concert. Says we have to have respect for all these guys and what they've done. Even though this guy has railed against the band Falling in Reverse a few years ago, as he's done to others who have done it. He had no problem going off on them saying he never used backing tracks. It's weak. It's blah, blah, blah. But if Paul Stanley and Kiss do, it's okay because they have, you know, we have to have respect for them for what they've done. Even though these guys are gazillionaires and, you know, we gotta let them do it, but nobody else. So go ahead. You give me your thing. I'll go on. I'll follow you here, Tom.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're never going to have Sebastian back on. Quite frankly, I don't want him on.
No, I have no interest.
I wouldn't even take him. So I think he's an idiot. I do like, I think his new solo songs, the two new tracks that came out the last few months are really good. So I can separate the person to the music. So sure. I think they're really good. I think one dropped a couple of days ago, solid track. His solo stuff is really good. Skid Row, never the biggest fan, saw him back in the day, but I think he's a tool. You know, brings politics into shit that nobody cares about your opinions. You know, mother truckers, all that bullshit, you know. He's still 18 in his head, pardon the pun.
Yes.
I did there. But
you think he's still 18 or
yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, he is, life. But, he doesn't look 18 anymore. I can tell.
Oh no, he doesn't. That's true.
I don't agree with him. First of all, he's talking about Paul Stanley. He didn't mention, he had said other musicians, but didn't mention any other musicians. He's a uber Kiss fan, so am I, by the way. But I don't want to see Paul Stanley or any band on the planet miming. And it's not just back and track to enhance vocals. This is actually tracks. You're not singing, a track is replacing your voice. And he thinks that he's given Paul Stanley a pass because Paul Stanley has given us 50 years of great music, which he has. But when you can't do something, whether you're an athlete, whether you're working, whether you're whatever, when you can't do something, you fucking stop, right?
Hang it up.
People are coming. They're paying $100, $200, $1,000. They're meeting you backstage, whatever it is. That's all great. And if somebody wants to do it, that's your own business. But if you can't do your job, and I don't care if you're digging holes in the side of the street or you're singing to 20,000 people, you fucking stop, and you don't get a pass for that. If you can't do it, you can't do it, period. So Sebastian Bach, once again, full of shit, in my opinion.
Yeah, and 100% agree. Like we had talked about that, you know, one of the segments a couple weeks ago. We were talking about that. Exactly. It's, look, if you can't do what you used to do, there's two things you could do. You could still listen. I'll respect something like a Dokken or a Vince Neil that, you know, they've obviously lost their voice, and there's plenty of guys that have lost their voice. They just can't do it anymore. It's understandable. You can't sing like that forever. But I'd rather, I'd rather you go out there, you know, butcher it a little bit, but it's the real thing at least. You know, I can respect you at least going out and giving it a shot. I mean, it might not sound good. I might not go and see you again, but you went out, you gave it your best shot, and at least it was honest. It was real, whether it was good or not. You know, this whole thing, and what I'm not liking is, you know, like people keep saying, well, you know, we're just, you know, with the use of technology, we're going to, no. Technology now is a substitute word for faking it. You know, you notice how people, they always want to drop the word technology. Oh, well, because the technology is just, it doesn't mean you can use that to replace what you're supposed to be doing, which is singing. And so, I mean, just, I think we were saying, the fact that these guys are getting older, I mean, once again, it means you just can't perform your level of your job. And that's when most people you see, they retire, they quit, or they get fired. You know what I mean? So, and that's part of this, you know, just like with the one thing with the rat, you know, look, it's time for people to fire these, you know, artists. Don't go see them. If they're, you know, or here's the thing too. All right. if you're going to come out and if you're going to have enhancements, if you're going to use technology, right, to help you out, then put that on the ticket, put it on the promo,
right?
That, you know, we'll be using assistant, you know, whatever it is. I don't know what the wording is, but let people know, like, hey, look, you're going to be watching it, but there's going to be some backing tracks and you're going to have some fake stuff in it. All right. This way people know. And if they go see you, they're aware of it. There's no surprise. You're letting them know, like, look, I can't do it anymore. So if you want to just kind of see me and my face and my whatever, and then I'm lip syncing and but I'm letting you know ahead of time. Well, then, okay, that's on you. If you want to pay that $138, whatever the hell it is, to come see me, you know what I mean? And that's okay. But be honest with the fans and let them know what it is you're going to be doing and that you're not going to be singing, you know, you're going to be using quote unquote technology to help you out.
Yeah. And I think that Don addressed that. Like Don kind of, you know, Don's, I'm a, again, Dokken fan, have been, and but he's addressed the fact that his vocals are not what they were. They're just bad. I mean, sorry, Don, if you ever look at this, but they're just bad. I mean, they're just facts are facts. But conversely, he did address it. And he just said, well, if you want to see me back in 1984, then look at the YouTube clip. So I ain't stopping. But he addressed it. And he's clearly not using backing tracks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then that goes back to our first argument. Don needs to stop, or else, you know, just do it in the studio only or whatever. You know, Bon Jovi's the same. His, and he's addressed his vocal concerns. He said he had something on his throat, whatever. And, you know, David Coverdale is another one whose voice has been shot arguably for 15 years now, if not longer. He needs to stop. That's why he brought in Delusek for, you know, the backing tracks. And that's what Coverdale has done for years. He just brings in musicians who are great musicians but can enhance the choruses and shit, so you get away with it. But I think it's a simple argument. You know, we're talking about you know, Sebastian, but I think any musician, we're talking about the singers. If you're a bit, look at Phil Collins is singing in a wheelchair. I mean,
well he mentioned it. Seriously? He said it's okay. He thinks, oh, that's okay, it's because okay of what he's done. It's not okay.
No,
well, here's okay the thing, and like we were saying, I mean, it almost seems like, listen, my thing is, like I said, you know, exactly. If Don wants to go, listen, it might hurt your legacy. You know, if that's the only thing it's going to do, if you want to go out there, you know, your voice is shot, you want to do it anyway for the money or because fans want to see it anyway. Look, I get it. Now, it could possibly hurt your legacy, but as we were talking about with Chris, there is no integrity in legacies anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I think all that stuff has been so diluted where it's just all about the money. It's not about the integrity of the art and saying, you know what, no, I'm not going to mess with my history and my career here. It's not worth the money. I'd rather not go out there and chop it up and sound like shit. You know, I'd rather just mail it in and that's it. You know what I mean? Right. But if they're all doing it, right, if everyone's going out there and they all sound like shit, you know, and listen, I get it. In the 80s, look, everyone sung high. You know what I mean? The 70s and 80s, everyone was singing high. And you can't sing like that, obviously, when you're 60.
And they're singing rock and metal, by the way. They're not singing a Rod Stewart song. Even if they weren't singing it right, they're screaming their freaking lungs up to sing to the back of the stadium or the arena. So look at the genre of music they're trying to keep up with. But then there's other bands, like you mentioned about integrity. I mean, bands like Kiss, as an example, never had integrity. Never.
No,
they always swapped out musicians and just followed trends. Like, I'd Be Made for Love, and you then they went all grungy then with the... just before the reunion in 96, and you know, they had never had integrity, never. They outright, you know, allegedly, I guess, I've been looked at, but just lied about who was on what album, where, when, you know what I mean? So but then you've got, you know, you got to give a tip of the hat to Don, who's, because my voice is fucked, so don't go and see it if you don't want to go and see it, and that's fine. But he's addressing it.
I agree.
He's addressing it, and that's exactly good. So I'll appreciate that.
I do. And that's the whole thing. And you're being honest, saying, hey, listen, you know, if you're coming to see me, I'm not going to sound like I did in 84. And that's your choice if you want to spend the money. But I'm letting you know. And I agree with that. Exactly. See, I respect that. You know, I get it. Like I said, no, not everyone's going to sound good anymore like that. I totally understand that. I'm not complaining about that. It's just you got to let them know. And so to go out there like Blackie did with the Wasp and what, you know, Paul's doing with Kiss and bunch
Blackie
of other...
Blackie did another one. I saw him last year and he was miming his ass off for, well,
yeah,
for his whole nine songs in the concert, but he mimed... I don't think he mimed every track. It's hard to kind of tell. I was at the back of the venue, but, you know, we live in a world of phones and YouTube, so when it's off, it's off. I mean, bands could have been doing this shit. I don't know. The technology wasn't available in the 70s for sure. In the 80s, we don't know. But you didn't really have the technology we have now to catch it. But now you can get away with shit because, and I think this, and that's what happened with Kiss. Kiss were found out because of technology and iPhones and shit. And well, the thing about Kiss is they kept going. Even when they were caught, they just kind of stayed in it, you know?
Well, my problem with Kiss is they were the first ones that we used to rail against it using backing tracks. They Gene Simmons used to talk shit all the time about it.
They did. And Nikki,
and then they go use it.
That too, yeah. Nikki Six spoke about that, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and of course, now we got AI coming into the picture. Now you got a whole different, you know. I mean, like, I think, you know, if I'm sure you've seen, obviously, this thing in Las Vegas, the Sphere, right? That new venue, yeah. Right? I really believe what that thing is for is and it's just really to promote AI to its fullest and holograms and avatars and all that. You're going to see, I think, these type of places come up because they want to sell people on the visual first and the music second. Mm. You know, like I said, I know you two played there, right? And people were saying, like, oh, I couldn't even see them on the stage. Well, who knows if it was even them? And I'm not kidding around. You know what I mean? Because if you can't see them, I saw something yesterday and they were explaining how they can make people look like, you know, other people on stage. When you've got this big sphere, right? This big thing's in your face and you can't see anything else. And all it is you're just like, whoa.
It's and you hear the music.
Yeah. Well, the visual isn't on the artists, right? It's on the screen. It reminds me when I was a kid, and I believe it's still there and they do it, but in New York City, they had this thing called the Hayden Planetarium. And it usually it was like a Pink Floyd show. And that's where they play Pink Floyd songs. And you just sit there and you're sort of like movie chair. You look up at this planetarium thing and it'd be this whole video, you know, show. That's what this whole sphere thing is to me. They're not, you know, you're not seeing the show and what the band members are doing. You're not seeing Gene and those guys spitting out fire and doing stuff like that. You're watching this big screen, listening to music. And those guys are almost irrelevant down there. They're just like the house band or something. You could put and dress them up like Bono and dress up like whoever, the Edge. You wouldn't even probably tell the difference because no one's looking at them. Everyone's just looking at the big thing in front of them. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's just that dystopian nature of AI and what's in store for it when it comes to music with the holograms, with the avatars. Obviously, Kiss is letting everyone know what they're going to be doing. It's all over. It's all over journalism. You know, I mean, AI, look, I mean, they pump out, you see all these articles, you go online, half of them are AI generated. They're not even real articles. I remember even when our buddy Bob Dalbandian passed away, you know, I was searching stuff online and it was like five or six AI sites and articles on him that didn't even get all the information right either. You know, so it's like, it just goes hand in hand. Once you start faking stuff with, you know, the actual performance like these guys are doing, it's just going to keep going to be more fake and more fake, more expensive. And people, you know, they're going to keep paying it because they just don't know what else to do. They're just like, yeah, you live once. I've seen so many people. Well, you only live once. You know, as long as you're having fun, you might as well do it. Well, then don't complain about how, you know, don't say there's no bands anymore. Don't say that this, you know, I'm just, I know I'm kind of going off a little here. So, but it's frustrating.
It is, and I think, and we're talking about the visual, like Sphere and what we like in the Sphere U2 and what we saw. But what about what we don't see? And I'm going to address it two ways. So the Beatles track that came out, you know, a couple of weeks ago over the summer, just before the holidays, I think, which is actually a decent song. I'm not a Beatles fan, but they used AI to isolate John Lennon's vocals. It was a 1978 track, and they took out all the ambient noise in the background. Whatever they did, they were just able to take the vocals out and then add the music on top of it. But they openly admitted it was an AI track, you know, and isn't it better to have this than not have it at all? It was the first new Beatles track in, you know, 50 years, whatever the heck it was. I don't know. Mm. Beatles were done in 70, I think, was it? Whatever.
Yeah.
And it was a pristinely produced song. Perfect. But they said, this is AI. Now,
it's AI, yeah.
Right, that's fine, but they openly admitted it and they released on the YouTube clip, I think it's like 8 or 9 minutes about how they did it. It's fascinating, but again, they owned it. They just didn't try and hide it, whatever. But the other side of that is that there are songwriting tools out there, software, that will help musicians in the same way it'll help somebody create a marketing piece or copy marketing piece.
Yep, exactly.
For song structures, for melodies, for vocals, for whatever. So we're never going to know unless they tell us, is it AI or not? Because you could have an album by a band tomorrow that could be an absolute phenomenal record. And we have no way of knowing is 90% of it just purely enhanced by AI, unless they're going to tell us at the bottom, oh, FYI, guys, this is enhanced by AI. So With the Beatles, they told us what it was, and that was fine if we accepted it. How many bands and musicians right now are going to start, who are doing it, not waiting to do it, who are doing
it? Yeah, they're already doing it. Yeah,
they're doing it, and they're not going to tell us, and we just think, oh my God, did you hear the new? I'm just shitting on Motley Crue as an example, but Motley Crue apparently have, you know, a new album coming out or new tracks in the bag, according to John Five or whatever, and that's fine. We have no way of knowing whether that entire record was produced by a computer, and the technology is, it's not like a drum machine back in the 80s. You go,
yeah,
but that's not a drum machine. I can hear it's not a drummer or whatever. The technology is getting so advanced and so advanced very quickly, getting better and better. I think you're going to have an entire record, not even made by the band, but the band can play the live, right? They can do the live track. They can do the live version of it, but the studio version, they may not even be involved in it.
And well, can they? I mean, they're gonna probably do the fake track in live setting as well.
Yeah,
you know, that's what it is. It's setting up, and the fans are accepting fake music. They're accepting fake entertainment, whether it's on stage or, like you said, when they start putting out these AI albums, and they just see the logo, boom, that's it. They're sold. That's all you got to do now. And it's sad. I mean, everyone's just accepting it.
But just, you know what, Matt? It's sad for us because we're of a generation. Right. So we're a couple of years apart. We're of a generation. We're going to see like going to see Jeff Tate tomorrow night. Like that's important to me. I'm going to sit there for 2 hours. I'm going to grab a beer. I'm going to watch the musicians. I'm going to be looking at the drummer. Who's the bass player? Holy shit. He's great. Jeff's voice is, you know, good, great, bad, whatever. Yeah. I'll talk about that next time. But then you've got, I'm just going to use my kids as an example. So I've got a 17, 19 and 22 year old. Okay. They listen to Apple Music. They don't care who the artist is, what it sounds like, is all they hear is a song that they can hum walking the dogs. They don't give a shit if there's a bass player on it or if there's a machine that made the bass sounds. They probably don't even know what a bass player does, quite frankly.
Sure.
So they don't care. So AI is coming into a generation where we care a lot and we're having these discussions. There's nobody going to be having this discussion in 25 years from now because it's probably just going to be the normal. I don't think for 1 minute musicians are going to be ever be replaced. Like there's always going to be live music. That's live music. Live music is here since the year dot, right? But I think just regarding, and we talked about the streaming and the downloading and all that kind of thing, people haven't, they don't give a shit what's coming out of their iPhone as long as it sounds good in here. They don't even know who produced it. They don't know who the musician is. They may know who the artist is. You ask any fan out there, any musician out there, any fan of music, pop music, like my kids, who's your favorite artist? Oh, it's Ariana Grande, whatever. Who produced her latest album? What does that mean? They don't care. It's just a disposable world. And I think that's just, it's feeding into today's generation more so than anything, I think.
No, you're right. And that's why I think it's really up to, you know, I agree with you. Like you said, there's always going to be live music. There's always going to be rock music and metal music, whatever it is. But yes, as we've been seeing, you just nailed it perfectly. I mean, nobody, even like you said, you had said it a while ago. I think I brought this up as well on the last show we did. You know, there's music fans and fans of music. You know, and that's what it is. Is we're seeing more of that now. We're just seeing, fans of music, I guess. I forget which one you were saying is which, but I hate really doing the whole doom and gloom stuff, you know, all the time about, oh, look what's happening here and there. But when you've got the major record labels and these major bands, these gatekeeper legacy bands that are using it, they're going to use it. I mean, the fact that Kiss is talking about when they're all dead, there's still going to be Kiss out there and playing shows. And I mean, if older music fans are okay with this and letting their kids, you know, taking their kids to a Kiss Avatar show saying this is music, well, then it's on them. You know, we got no one to blame except for ourselves. Then that means,
but you know what, Matt, but it will be music to a newer generation who never saw what we saw. That's my point. That's like, it's because it's feeding into today's disposable.
Sure.
Give it to me quick world. Couldn't give a shit where
you're
it
right.
From.
You're right.
Don't care about the substance behind it. Hey, it's a good song. That's all. I don't care. And then it's not only that, but the technology of AirPods and Bluetooth and whatever is making shit sound so damn good in your ears. People don't give a damn. Even metal music is becoming very generic because it's so well produced and it's you know, like the whatever. That's another whole other topic. But I think for the most part, we're a dying breed. I mean, we're like a, if my son is 22 having a podcast, he's not going to talk about this. He's just going he's going to say, "Sounds fucking great, man." That's all he's going to say. He doesn't care about the substance. He couldn't give a shit. It's a good track. It's a good track to him.
I know. And I, like you said, I think the key words that you said, they want something, they want stuff instant. You know, it's why it's hard for kids to sit down and play an instrument or just sit there and take the time to learn it.
Right.
Yeah. As I said, I kind of go through that with my own daughter. She does it, but I gotta make her do it.
She's not sitting there. Generation.
It's a very lazy generation. Like I said, it's just the quote unquote technology is just, it's making everybody lazy.
Yeah.
Which I, you know, that it was supposed to, you know, that's a whole nother topic of discussion, but yeah, the bottom line is things are pretty dire with this AI stuff, you know? And so the more we, at least us as these, you know, older, you know, the older generation of music fans, we can at least sit there. We can put our foot down and say, you know what? I'm not going to go see, I'm not going to go see Paul Stanley. So I'm not going to go see Wasp again because they're playing back in trash.
I wouldn't go see Wasp again.
Well, and it's not, and you nailed it too, because it's like I said, it's not just obviously the older bands doing it, you know, the younger bands, this is their new reality. You know, they get three dudes, and like we saw it with that Falling in Reverse band. I mean, they lost their laptop and they couldn't play a show because of that. I mean, not even okay. I get if you don't have your samples, just go ahead and say, look, everyone, you know, our samples, like something got stolen, so it's going to be a little, you know, different and not as full.
Get raw, whatever. Yeah,
but yeah, we're gonna go with it. We're gonna have fun anyway. I mean, bands used to do it all the time, right? If a band member got hurt or something happened to someone, right, and it was only two or three people there, I mean, they play a show without bass, or they would play without a vocalist and have, you know, some of the fans come up and sing, or you know, do something silly like that. But it made it intimate, it made it fun, and it at least was real. You know, the fact is you're right, and that's the young generation. They can't determine what's real and what's fake.
They don't care. I think that
they don't care. Like you said, they don't care.
It's even worse. It's not that they can't work it out. They actually don't care. When I could be bagging on my kid, I'm always giving her a tough time. So, you know what? That's a machine made that, right? And she goes, "What?" Like she doesn't even answer me. She goes,
"She doesn't understand what you mean, probably." Like whatever. Yeah, exactly.
No interest. And I'd say, "Hey, look at Steve Harris playing Hallowed Be Thy Name." She goes, "Dad, I'm not going to watch that."
Oh man, I don't know, man. And like I said, I don't want to sound like the old guy going, "Oh, you know, back in our day." But we are old, and it's not about the music and the quality of it, you know, the sound or the style. It's just that it's not real, and that's the scary part to me.
I remember having a discussion with some, like a guy, this would have been about 1981, 82, and he was a big classic rock guy, and he was like a Deep Purple and a Hendrix and a Thin Lizzy and Purple and all the usual suspects and Yes, Genesis. And then I was getting into metal in 81, 82, which was the new wave of British heavy metal. It was Maiden and Saxon and whatever. And I would play him that shit, and he just couldn't. This was like the end of the world. He was going, "Oh, put on some Tangerine Dream and Pink Floyd." And I'm going, "Fuck that shit." And I'd put on, you know, Killers, Iron Maiden. And he couldn't listen to that. He said, "Okay, good musicians, but I can't listen to that." That was too new and modern for him. This is like the same concept just 40 years later with a completely different subject matter, but we're too established to ever accept this. But I say not bullshit. And I don't like AI is great. I use AI in my world in real estate, but so I'm nothing against it, but it's now replacing, or it's heading towards replacing what we hold dear. And I think that's what our point is, not AI itself, but what it's doing and what it's like.
What it's doing, yes. And like I said, like, for instance, AI is great for certain things, like you said, for your job, if you want to put together some sort of proposal thing and you need the right rhetoric that sounds real professional, instead of sitting there and spending all this time editing it and preparing it yourself, you have this thing that can generate a great, you know, just a great, you know, piece of...
In a second.
So I completely get something like that. But music, I mean, an art form, you know, that's not really an art. I mean, like I said, whether it comes to, you know, like you said, it's not even just for the music. We've got it in our media, we got journalism, all that stuff. We just don't, you know, it's not coming from a real place. And it's sad. And like I said, I just hope and pray something gets in the way of this thing taking over completely. 'Cause that is definitely the road it's going down. There's no doubt because of its convenience and everything. All right.